Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
We know you're busy, so thank you for listening to episode number 82 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
WrinkledNotDead.com is where you'll find anything to do with Wrinkled Not Dead. Also the iTunes Store, Podbean, Spotify, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and
anywhere on. You find your podcast.
I know. I should always just say that first and forget about
the rest.
That's
what they say on NPR. Anywhere you find
well,
your
podcast. Well, if they say that there, then it's very important. We're in the self-help category because we're starting over. We are also supported by AdvertiseCast.com. What we learned this week, this is pretty interesting one, I have to say.
It is.
What did you learn this week?
I'm dying to tell this because it's the holidays, so everybody's eating and drinking more than they usually do. A friend of mine told us about Fitvine, F-I-T-V-I-N-E wine. Now, I'm not doing a commercial for this.
Uh-huh.
This is just what she told me.
Yeah.
She said it has lower sugar and lower sulfites, and the Pinot Grigio we tried, and it is wonderful. I can't drink a lot of wine. It upsets my stomach and many other things, and this is a great wine. And on the bottle it says...
I know, this is pretty cool.
We crush grapes, you crush life.
It shows this picture of it. It's a drawing of a dude running in running shorts and track shoes and all that with a glass of wine in his hand.
Well, it's an Olympic runner back from the Greek. It's an Olympic Greek runner. You know how they have those.
Oh, I didn't look at the
label.
Yeah,
it was really cool. So anyways, try it out if you want to have a glass of wine and you don't want any of the side effects.
Okay, well, it's the sulfites. I think that's
probably the sulfites.
I think so. Our major topic today, real life holiday miracles to make you believe in human kindness. What a nice topic this week. So we have some cool stories that Jen found for you, and a quote to just kind of frame it up, right?
Christmas isn't just a day. It's a state of mind.
I'd have to agree with
that. And that's what these stories coming up, they're not our stories, although we'll each share one.
We have one, yeah.
But these are stories from other people.
Okay. Rose and thorn. A rose is something that, for first-time listeners, is something that really nice and kind or terrific happened during the week. And a thorn is maybe not as nice, but we did learn something from it. So it's kind of important one way or another. So rose and thorn for me, I've got a rose. I've got a job narrating tomorrow, in fact. So I'm a little nerved up now, to be truthful. A huge Navy job, narration. It's very technical. It's like how to reinstall this left-handed Wiebel Fetzer on a aircraft carrier in the middle of the night. Stories, you know, so it's very technical stuff and there's a load of it, so I'm really excited about it. That's definitely a rose, but the thorn part of it is definitely, it's a huge job and it's scary, so I just want to make sure I do well.
You're going to do great, and it's an honor to do something for the Navy.
I've been doing it for years now. I don't know why I always have apprehension, except when I look at it and it looks like it's in foreign language and all the acronyms that the Navy has and all this stuff. But we'll have a good time, and I'm sure it's going to work out well.
Well, they keep calling you back, so you got to be doing a good job.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. How about you, rose and thorn?
Oh, the rose. Oh, this is a cool one. My friend had to speak at a wedding, and she had to say some verse. And Mike and I both helped her with it, and she was very, very nervous. And I said, you know what? Your nerves and your anticipation of this is going to be far worse than the actual event. The actual event is going to turn out great. And guess what? It did. And 25 people came up to her and said, what a great job she did. So I reminded her and said, look what you worried about. You didn't need to, because it turned out great in the end.
I remember my last piece of advice to her was something that I learned a long time ago. When you're speaking in front of a large group of people, just focus your eyes on the back wall. Don't find any of them in the audience. Then it doesn't bother you as much.
What's interesting is she said when they first started coming in, she was looking at everybody coming in, and she
is
got
right?
kind of flustered and confused, then thought about what you said and looked at the back of the room.
She did rehearse a lot.
She did a great
job.
Bless her. Preparation, that was great. Preparation, okay. And more preparation. The thorn, I don't even know how to say this without sounding like a brat, but during the holidays, everybody's emotions are running high and, you know, our tempers flare and what have you, and we were taking someone out for dinner, and I had gone early, and I had set up a table, and I'd made sure that it was the exact table, a quiet one, where everyone could
hear each other
because they're varying ages of people and what have you.
Yeah.
And when we got there, they had moved all the little things that I had put on the table beforehand, many hours beforehand, and moved us to an undesirable table. And I got very upset, and it kind of got to me. And then I said to myself, stop it. The whole reason why you're here is to be with your friends and enjoy it. It doesn't matter where you are. We could be sitting out in a field and we'd have fun. So if you can learn from what I did last night, don't lose your temper if things don't go the way you think they should, because it's a holidays.
And they probably won't go the way you
think.
They
won't. Yeah. And everything is chaotic right now. And be in the moment with your friends and family.
But you did give her the subnuclear death stare.
You did. I don't see well enough to give anybody a nuclear stare, trust me.
Okay, I did. And it didn't make any difference.
No.
So I'm taking your point. All right, speaking of food or restaurants or the holidays and holiday celebrations, there's a few things that you ought to know in Jen's Health Minute about plants and foods that are not agreeable to your dogs or cats.
Or any pets.
Let's go through the list, because this is pretty cool. Some are very familiar, some are not.
Holiday plants and foods are, mm-hmm. to keep away, mm-hmm. pine needles.
Makes sense.
Mistletoe.
Mm-hmm.
Holly.
Right.
Amaryllis.
Which is an odd-looking subtropical plant. I saw it. We wouldn't buy one anyway.
No, it's a Christmas plant, they call it.
Yeah, I know, but it's... Okay.
And poinsettia.
Okay. Or poinsettia, depending on where you live.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't
you
that
say
funny?
Potato, I say potato.
I know.
Foods. You take the foods.
Okay. Foods. Stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
It must be from all the butter and stuff in there.
I would think so.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. Stuffing, ham, again.
I knew ham was not good.
Is that right?
Yeah, too salty.
Turkey bones, that makes sense. Any cooked bones are not good, apparently, from fowl of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Although the ones that are not, uncooked ones, apparently when dogs or cats eat, how are they called, natural foods, uncooked stuff, they're okay, whatever reason. Mashed potato.
That one stumped me, but it has to be that people put gravy and salt and spicing in that, too, because I know just regular potato is okay for dogs.
Yeah. So I'm guessing a GI problems from eating mashed potato, all right, which is something you don't want to begin with. Salads with grapes or raisins.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we knew about
that.
The grapes and the raisins, yeah. Pie, well, mm-hmm. Plum pudding.
And bread pudding.
Alcohol, always.
I don't care how light the beer is. People get crazed and want the dog to drink a beer. I mean, come on, no.
That's like
a scene
from Uncle Buck where the dog is slobbering down the beer. That's don't do that. You said chocolate? Yeah, lattes.
And coffee. And chocolate is the number one bad thing. I mean, chocolate and grapes, those two, will do such damage to your dog or cat or any pet. So there's a few. So just be mindful what goes around the table.
Okay, we dug up some fun facts for you because, again, this is a holiday miracle thing that we're doing. And we got a couple of stories of our own that follow along. But there's, some of the things you probably go, that's a lot of trees. 33 million Christmas trees are sold. I'm guessing in the United States, but you can extrapolate that to any country in the world that celebrates Christmas with a tree. A lot of them. But it should be said that most of them are farm-raised, so don't, go nuts, right?
Exactly. And this one I thought was really odd. 1870,
mm-hmm.
Christmas becomes a national U.S. holiday. 1870. It wasn't that long ago.
I was only six. You knew I was going to do that.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, it's the 50th anniversary. Well, it's now the 51st, I guess, anniversary or coming up, anniversary of Kwanzaa. So it was 50 years of age, celebrated in 2016.
And in 1670, mm-hmm. the candy cane was invented in Germany.
They always do that stuff.
I know. They invent all
They're all
kinds
over
of
the
stuff.
Top of that, right? Okay.
That's off to our German listeners.
Yes, exactly. We have a lot of German
listeners.
We sure
do, and I'm
proud of that. I looked it up the other day.
That's
I'm darn
great.
Proud of it. Yeah, it's Dankeschön to everybody out there. The average amount, this staggers me, the average amount spent per person on gifts is $861.
I can't believe
it. I mean, come on. We're wrinkled, not dead. We couldn't possibly get close to that.
I can't believe it, but it's in print, so it must be true.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we found it on the interweb. So, and the average, well, here it comes. Now, we could probably do the math if we were smart and done, really aligned our minds that way. But the average number of gifts that people expect is 12. So 12 into 861 will give you, I guess, a sum there somewhere.
Now, for Hanukkah, there's 8 days and nights of Hanukkah.
Yeah,
and 44 candles in a box of Hanukkah candles.
I don't know why that is.
I don't either. I just thought it was interesting.
All right. Well, let's see.
80% of people will finish their holiday shopping by December the 20th.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is today.
Which is today. We are launching the show on the 20th. So you're going out there, not me.
That's true, but I'm not going to do it much.
I'm practicing my Navy job.
We don't have any money for shopping.
We don't have any money anyway, but you still have to get toilet paper. I know that's on your list. So okay, so here, more fun facts. This is just a coincidence, but this is what happened locally and all the way back in my hometown area of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. My Aunt Irene and her husband live on a farm. Mm-hmm. And their farmhouse is, she says, pretty dinky. I think she wrote dinky on Facebook.
Right.
Or it's small anyway. So she had a picture posted and her Christmas tree is hanging upside down.
Oh, right.
That's right. So there's more room at the bottom to move around and everything, but the it's hanging there upside down. And I thought, well, how do they, they're farmers. They don't know exactly how to do it.
So, but do you know they're doing it at the Hotel Del this year as well?
It's a very famous hotel, the Hotel Del Coronado. If you're anywhere near Southern California, you'll know Some Like It Hot was shot there. I mean, all these movies from the 50s. But it's a huge, huge, very, very gorgeous, gorgeous hotel right on the water, Imperial Beach. The sand is exquisite. And they've always had this tremendous display during the holidays, right?
Yeah.
So what do? Like, who was it? Walt Disney said you can't top pigs with pigs. So this year, they hung their Christmas tree.
Upside down. We're going to go and take a look at it. And we haven't been down there.
Well, that's exactly what they're thinking. Yeah. These folks will go, oh, look, there's a tree, and it's got the gold balls on it.
But they have beautiful Christmas tree.
They do, but I want to see that sucker hang upside down. It's worth whatever it takes to get down there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It reminds me, of something Dr. Seuss would do, the Dr. Seuss Christmas. The tree would be hung upside down.
So we were discussing all that about the hanging of the trees upside down, and it's become kind of a thing lately.
Yeah, it has.
I hadn't heard it all until my Aunt Irene.
Well, why not?
Why not? I mean, kudos to you
flip
two
it.
Up there. Yeah, flip it. Okay, so we're gonna read these because they're actual stories, and some of them aren't actually written that terribly well, but they're miracle stories of holidays written by people who really had a feeling about these. You can tell the emotion is in them. So I'll take the first one if you don't
mind. Please do.
It's called the Brownies Sash. This young girl had received Brownies uniform and manual from her grandparents for her 7th birthday. It granted her the opportunity to be in a troop, Girl Scout troop, only to be faced with a horrible troop leader who freely told the other girls that she didn't like me and would only hand out badges on days when she wasn't there. So her story concluded with revealing that after 1 year in the Brownies, she only had one lousy badge.
Aww.
All the other girls had moved on to the next level of Girl Scouts, but she did not. Well, her mother heard this story, and 2 weeks later, for Christmas, she handed her a small gold box. Inside was a Brownies sash adorned with every single badge a girl could earn and accompanied by a 3-page letter explaining how she had learned them. The young girl was so touched she cried, of course, the most beautiful and thoughtful gift ever received. Wasn't that a wonderful story?
It is great. And, why are some people so mean to young people when
they're starting out?
It reminded me when you were telling me this, when I worked at Kmart.
Yeah.
I worked in the toy department.
Department store, if you're living in country.
Yeah, Kmart is a large, or actually it's going out of business like Sears is. But,
okay.
And I worked in the toy department, and I worked so hard. It was my very first job, and my manager, she was an older lady, probably not that old. She was probably like 30, but to me she seemed old.
Yeah.
And she was so mean to me. Everything I ever did, she belittled me and always said I wasn't dressed appropriately, or what was I doing in another department when I was just taking some item that had been left in the toy department that belonged in shoes, you know? And those things, that kind of sticks with you. And so for this person to do this to the yeah. poor little Girl Scout lady,
I know, it's terrible.
Gal, that's terrible.
I know.
And what a great thing so for her mom to have
let
done.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that the gal that you were working for at Kmart was just gel because you're a beautiful young lady on your way to a career?
Well, no, because I wasn't on to a career. I was 16 years old.
Yeah,
it was
but you
my
can
very
tell
first
when somebody's, you know.
Job. But I guess what I'm saying is that it's these people make lasting impressions when they're either nice or when they're mean.
Okay, I'll give you one that's the nice.
Okay.
This story reminded me of something that happened, my God, how many decades ago. It's a story about my scout leader, because this was about the Girl Scouts,
uh-huh.
but about my scout leader, Val Dietrich, who was also the principal of the school that I went to, St. Clair's in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So this guy, Val Dietrich, really a nice old dude, which I'm probably in his 30s again, but had the most tremendous collection of Native Canadian artifacts. I mean, a world-class connection. He had everything. He had drawers of this stuff and display cases of this stuff, and I'm sure that these all went into a natural history museum at one point. But while he was leading us as scout leader, he decided he was going to take us on a field trip. And he would do this at the time of year when the farmers out in the area, Aunt Irene probably, anyway, that they were plowing the fields. So it would churn up the soil, and he'd go out to his favorite places, his favorite locations, and Val Dietrich could take the scout troop, and we'd go out there looking for stuff. Well, sure enough, after a little while, we found a few, you know, pottery shards and a little bit of this. Oh, there could have been a fire there that they had built, or maybe there was this or that. And then one of the kids found an arrowhead.
Wow.
A full-on, not a chip of the arrow, the whole blessed thing. Perfect display, a perfect specimen. And all these years now, I look back at this story and I wonder if Val Dietrich planted it for the kid.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice if he did?
I think so too.
Oh man,
yeah.
That's a nice story.
What a legend it was in the Boy Scout.
You're
troop.
Tearing up.
I am. No, that's my allergies.
Oh gosh. Well, this is.
But I could tear up. But
you could.
It's my allergies.
This is another story.
Yeah,
now again,
okay.
These stories are from around the world, so when they were written in English, sometimes they kind of lose their fluid.
Yeah, they
but
do.
But I'll try to do it as fluid as I can. My grandmother died a week and a half away from her favorite holiday, Christmas, and we thought that things were at their worst. We were eating in complete silence, and then all of a sudden, my grandfather said the simplest thing, that he was grateful for us being together. That week was the hardest week of my life, but I still remember it vividly. That Christmas, when my grandpa said those words, I thought, finally, things could possibly now go back to normal.
Hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is. It is.
He just said, "Hey, it's going to be okay." And that's all we want.
Yeah,
is to know that it's going to be safe and we're going to be okay.
This is called the laundromat. All throughout my childhood, there was a homeless man who slept in our local laundromat. Every Thanksgiving and Christmas, my mom would cook a big spread, and we'd go and take it to him in a heaping plate and insisted on hugging him. It's one of my favorite memories and probably one of the reasons I ended up in school for social work.
Wow.
Yeah, cool, huh?
Well, you know, it's going out to soup kitchens that mean the most.
Yeah, I know.
The royal family does that to show this is what life is about.
Mm-hmm.
The Forgotten Present. I was about 8 years old, and it was a couple of days after Christmas. My mother had found a present that she had bought for me in her closet. Instead of just giving it to me and have that be that, she snuck out on our back deck and threw it on the roof. My parents called me out and showed me this gift, and my dad got a ladder and spotted me while I got up there and got it down. I still remember the butterflies thinking, wow, he really came. Santa was up on this roof and this fell out of the sleigh. The gift was a pink Barbie camera. I'll never forget that feeling.
The coworker. One year, when I was younger, my parents were struggling financially. One of the ladies my mom works with asked my mom what my brother and I wanted for Christmas. You know where this is going, don't you? My mom told her, and the lady bought us exactly what we wanted and gave it to my parents to give to us on Christmas morning. To this day, my brother still says it was the best Christmas present ever. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that my mom told us that it was from her coworker, and she had brought the toys and given them as if she were Santa. So we may not have had a Christmas that year if it hadn't been for the coworker's generosity.
Amazing.
That's a great story.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
And this is our final one. Together for Christmas. When my family was all able to get together for Christmas, we always went to Christmas Eve Mass. Although I don't really identify with any religion, Christmas Eve Mass is beyond beautiful. The choir voices were so lovely and strong that the whole building shook with song. My older brother wasn't going to be able to make it to Christmas because he lived too far away, and it was just not the same Christmas Eve feeling as we stood there in our fancy holiday finest and sang carols. Until my older brother walked in during Angels We Have Heard on High. He had driven for 13 hours straight to make it in time for the holiday. My whole family was crying, and I will never forget how it felt, like my own little Christmas miracle. For that reason, I have always loved that song, and it was so nice to have my Christmas wish come true. Merry Christmas, y'all.
Well, I have my story for Christmas.
Okay.
And it's kind of odd, but it's the truth. It's the first year I came back from boarding school for the Christmas holiday. So what it meant to me was that I guess I had become a young adult at this point. I'd gone off to school by myself, no longer living in the house, but came back to all the usual traditions that were set up by my family, but came in as a whole new person, somebody who was doing something on their own. And it meant a lot.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice, simple, but a simple story.
And I've never forgotten it.
But now you're really welling up.
No.
Still allergies?
We got all this Christmas stuff out there. There's dust.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Mine is maybe a bratty one. I don't know. But for Christmas, I had asked for this doll that was the size of me, a life-size doll. And, I was upstairs, and I got up in the middle of the night, and I came down, and my parents were putting this doll. My mother actually had made a special dress for this doll. I'd forgotten about this. The doll came with a particular clothing, and my mom made a special dress that matched one of mine. Can you believe that? Because my mom was a seamstress.
I know.
And I came down, and I was shocked to see them putting this doll. And I said, Mom, Dad, is there no Santa? What are you doing? And she said, oh, no, Santa came. I was just putting my special touch. I'd made this dress that matched your dress, and I wanted it to be a surprise.
Oh, my God. That's quick thinking.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Oh, my gosh.
So she always made my, because she made my own clothes. And so she made my clothes.
So you and the doll had matching
garb
for Christmas?
And even when we did Barbie, she made Barbie clothes to match my clothes. I know. What a great mom. Mom, I love you. You are the best.
Yeah, she's only 95.
I know.
Come on. Get sewing again. Time off. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Short but sweet. It's a good one.
Yeah, time off is doing Christmas cards. For a couple of years now, it's been so tough, and I've been so worried about everything, and I've been selfish and not sent Christmas cards, and they've kind of got out of favor. But what's interesting, I just started doing Christmas cards this year and thought, you know what, I'm going to handwrite them, and I'm going to write my own special note to each particular person. And when I was mailing them, I said to the gentleman at the post office, who I've got to know very well, I said, gosh, this must look odd. I'm sending postcards.
In the post, actually sending them, yeah.
Yeah, rather than something, an email for a Christmas card, right?
Yeah.
And he said, no, you know what? Christmas cards are coming back again.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, writing personal Christmas cards and posting them through the mail, he said, is back by 60% than it was the last
couple
of years.
Is that Jerry down there, too?
It was Jerry
that
down there.
So
you know what?
Cool.
you know, everything old is new again, and it comes back and around again, because there's nothing like getting something through the mail, a card with your name on it, and a personalized little note.
No, I have to agree. Remember when? Well, it's because it's that time of year again. There are gifts given, and so we looked into the past for toys that were around in the old days. The first one I'm going to talk about is just, I don't know what year it was invented. Maybe you can find it. I don't know. But the Slinky, I had nothing. I thought, what a useless, you know what a Slinky was. The
only
thing
it
would do is go down the stairs. Isn't that about right? Seriously?
I loved the Slinky. Slinky. But you know when the Slinky came out?
No.
In 1948, so before you were born. And Slinky in 1948 was the gift to give, and that continued to be one of the gifts that you put in a stocking.
Well, I thought it was... I couldn't figure it out. I could care less about a Slinky.
Well, I got one. You were born in 1951, right?
Correct.
Let's see what the toy was.
All right.
Okay. Oh, there wasn't
great
a toy.
Great toys of 1951.
There were none.
Oh.
The Silly Putty came out in 1950 before you were born.
No
and,
toys.
And Mr. Potato Head came out in 1952.
Well, it was delayed in production because Mr. Potato Head should have come up in 51 when I was born.
Well, I was born in 1956, and we had two toys that were the top toys.
What?
Play-Doh.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Play-Doh?
Oh, yeah.
That Play-Doh was fabulous.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah.
And Yahtzee. Was that a game?
Yeah. Oh, Yahtzee. We used to play Yahtzee a lot, actually.
The Hula Hoop in 1958 was the big one, and Barbie
in
1959 was the toy.
Hey, how about the Easy Bake Oven? Because you had one, I know.
I did have an Easy Bake Oven, and I just loved it. And I'm trying to see when it was. Cabbage Patch Kids, 1983. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, 1960. Easy Bake Oven, 1963.
Huh.
And G.I. Joe was 1964.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Twister, 1966. I mean, I could go through all this. It was interesting.
Yeah. People are tapping their watches, too.
I know, saying,
okay,
let's move on.
Move on.
But what's interesting is that, you know, toys come and go and come and go. Yeah. But I think the whole thing here we're talking about is not about the toys. It's about being together and loving and giving.
Well, the Slinky, you know. All right, I got a quote to wrap
it up here.
Where there is hope, there is faith. Where there is faith, miracles happen. And I hope you enjoyed some of the stories about people's personal miracles that we relayed to you today.
And I have one to close the show. Christmas is doing something a little extra for someone. We wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Thanks for listening. And remember, we are all in this together.